Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Media, the politicians have had a heyday in the wake of the Orlando terrorist attack killing 49 people. And now the story is not simply about the event itself, but about how different groups interpret the meaning of the event. And that's what I'd like to talk about today. Remember in the days of Elijah, there was a drought in the land of Israel. And King Ahab comes up to the prophet Elijah and says, "You are the troubler of Israel." In other words, you, Elijah, are to blame for the drought. And Elijah had to say back to King Ahab, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed the Baals." You see, Ahab attributed the drought, the national disaster, to those who followed Jehovah and their judgmental prophets. Elijah, representing God, said, "No, the sin of the nation is the cause." Let me ask you this question. Was the curse in the garden God's fault or man's fault? Satan and those opposed to God would say it's God's fault, that we were doing just fine in paradise until God cursed the earth. But God and God's people would say, no, it's man's fault for sinning. And the environment simply adjusted itself to man's new status under the rule of Satan. But notice how people will interpret events through their worldview or their system of beliefs. You see, the events themselves don't provide for us any meaning. We, who are the moral beings, provide the meaning to the circumstances. Remember, Jesus cast out demons. His disciples saw this and they interpreted it to mean that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one of Israel. But the Pharisees couldn't accept that. So they come along with a different explanation for the event, that Jesus has a demon and he's casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. Here is another example. When Israel entered into the Promised Land, God instructed them to construct a stone monument beside the Jordan River. And God said, Joshua chapter 4, verse 6, "Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, 'What do these stones mean?' then you shall say to them, 'Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever.'" A pile of stones is meaningless. The parents were to give God's meaning to the event. But imagine 200 years later, some liberal teacher in a rabbinical school answering the children's question, "What do these stones mean?" By saying it means that those hateful, homophobic, racist, misogynist ancestors of yours stole the land from those peaceful Canaanites. And those stones are a testimony of Jewish terrorism. Well, that's exactly what the left is doing with American history and the memorials laid down by our forefathers. So, as we would expect, the lesson or the meaning of the shooting in Orlando depends upon one's worldview. And that has become part of the story here. The New York Times editorial page blamed Republicans for the shooting in Orlando. Quote, "Mateen shattered the tenuous, hard-fought sense of personal safety that many gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender Americans have begun to feel as the movement for equality has made significant gains in recent years. His bullets and the blood he left behind that early morning were a reminder that in many corners of the country, gays and transgender people are still regarded as sinners and second-class citizens who should be scorned. Hate crimes don't happen in a vacuum. They occur where bigotry is allowed to fester, where minorities are vilified, and where people are scapegoated for political gain. Tragically, this is the state of American politics, driven too often by Republican politicians who see prejudice as something to exploit, not extinguish. So Republicans are to blame for having a platform that opposes homosexual marriage. A lawyer with the ACLU, LGBT and AIDS Project, blamed Christians. He tweeted, "The Christian right has introduced 200 anti-LGBT bills in the last 6 months, and people blame Islam for this? No. You know what is gross? Your thoughts and your prayers. And Islamophobia after you've created this anti-queer climate." And so here the blame for the Orlando shootings is laid at the feet of Christians and God's law. CNN reporter interviewing the governor of Florida thought that some of the blame should be on Florida's gun laws. She asked Governor Scott, quote, "Yes, ISIS terrorism could be blamed, but can't you accept any responsibility for the gun laws here in Florida?" And then there was President Obama's interpretation of the event. He saw it as all about gay rights and gun control, which is the Democratic Party platform. He said that this gay nightclub is more than a nightclub. It's a place of solidarity and empowerment, where people have come together to raise awareness, to speak their mind, and to advocate for their civil rights. For so many people here who are lesbians, gay, bisexual, transgenders, the Pulse nightclub has always been a safe haven, a place to sing and dance, and more importantly, to be who you truly are. Now, just 50 years ago, almost everyone in America would have considered a gay bar a house of sin. But now even our political leaders can get away with calling it a place of solidarity and empowerment. We truly live in Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the president went on to say that this massacre is therefore a further reminder of how easy it is for someone to get their hands on a weapon. And then he went on to call for a ban on assault weapons. Sarah Palin responded to the president's gun remarks by saying, "Enough is enough, Mr. President. There's no due respect due after pulling this stunt. Exploiting a sick, evil, ideologically driven attack on Americans to further your twisted anti-Second Amendment mission is disgusting. Today you're demanding an explanation from law-abiding gun owners, but not demanding the same from the followers of Islam, the religion behind this terror? If the demented Orlando terrorist doesn't represent all Islamic followers, then why do you insinuate he represents all gun owners? And why, after every shooting, do you always want to take away firearms from the innocent people who didn't do it?" So apparently Sarah Palin has a completely different interpretation of the event than President Obama. The Gallup organization in Princeton, New Jersey, went out and did a poll. And they asked people what the recent mass shootings at the Orlando nightclub represent. 79% of Republicans said it was about Islamic terrorism. But only 29% of Democrats said it was about Islamic terrorism. But 60% of Democrats said it was about domestic gun violence. But only 16% of Republicans said it was about domestic gun violence. So one's political view affects how one interprets events in the world. Amy Horowitz, a conservative filmmaker, got the camera rolling and began to ask New Yorkers who was to blame for the Orlando shooting. And some of the responses were, "I don't think it had much to do with Islam." And, "I don't think it was a terrorist." And, "Republicans and guns played a much larger role in the carnage." And someone said, "It's 100% the Republicans' fault." Another said, "Guns, way more than Islam. Way more." What you will find is that people first make up their mind, and then they'll find evidence to support what they already want to believe about the world. People are not as objective as they make themselves out to be. They will start out with premises, either that man is basically good or man is basically evil, or that sin is caused by the environment or sin is caused by man's choice, or either homosexuality is right or homosexuality is wrong. Generally speaking, people are not looking for the meaning of events. They are looking for the events to support their own meaning of life. Here's a question. How will the apocalypse be interpreted by the people on earth when cosmic judgments begin to take place? Will they say God is right and we need to repent? Or will they interpret the event as God is unfair and I'm a victim? Revelation chapter 9 verse 20 tells us how they will interpret the event. The rest of mankind who are not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands so as not to worship demons and idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorcery, nor of their immoralities, nor of their thefts. So when new events take place, whether they be tragedies or successes, people will interpret the event to support their worldview. It's not as if new pieces of evidence will change their mind. I expect after the Orlando shooting for those on the left to say, wow, Islam is a religion of hate, and homosexuality is a perversion. Those who sin do reap the consequences of their behavior. You and I know that rarely happens. Events do not change people's minds. But in thinking about this further, what concerns the ideologues on both sides is how a particular event might affect people in the middle. Oh, the younger generation who haven't made up their minds. And so they'll run quickly to the tweets and to the media to give their interpretation of the event to the public. Why? Because they want others to interpret events in the same way they interpret events. Everyone becomes an evangelist for his worldview. Everyone tries to frame events to fit their agenda. But you and I know that there's only one source of authority for interpreting all events, and that's the Word of God. The Bible is given to us by God to explain the world around us. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So let's ask the question, how does the Bible itself interpret events such as the Orlando shooting? I think the Bible teaches us that we are to judge the morality and the belief systems of everyone involved. For Jesus said to look for the fruit, because by their fruits you will know them. A bad tree will bring forth bad fruit. Evil ideology will bring forth evil actions. But here in Orlando, we see sin on both sides. Evil false religion terrorizing immoral people. Is that a surprise? God has told us many times in his word that one of the consequences of evil is that the sinner is punished by evil. Let me give you a number of verses here. Psalm 34:21, evil shall slay the wicked. Proverbs 5:22, his own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held in the cords of his sin, and he will die for lack of instruction. Proverbs 8:36, he who sins against me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Proverbs 1:32, the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, but he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. Jeremiah 2:19, your own wickedness will correct you, and your apostasies will reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. Proverbs 11:3, the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. Proverbs 11:5, the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. Habakkuk 2:7, will not your creditors rise up suddenly? And those who collect from you awaken, indeed you will become plunder for them. Isaiah 47:11, but evil will come upon you, which you will not know how to charm away, and disaster will fall upon you, for which you cannot atone, and destruction about which you do not know will come upon you suddenly. Now, it used to be, years ago, that if a young person was killed or hurt in a bar or a nightclub, the moral lesson that was on everyone's mind was, don't go to bars and nightclubs. Evil company corrupts good morals, and you will bear their punishment. Proverbs chapter 4, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it, do not pass by it, turn away from it, and pass on. If you join a biker gang, don't be surprised if you get caught in a gunfight. If you go to a homosexual bathhouse, don't be surprised if you get AIDS or STDs. In Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son took his father's money and spent it on prostitutes and loose living. It wouldn't be a surprise if he paid the consequence of a jealous boyfriend, or a bar fight, or a drug overdose. That's not blaming the victim. That's called contributory negligence. And everyone believes this. Even the left believes this. Because they're out there claiming that gun laws and anti-LGBT policies contributed to the crime. The left's error is not in making an association, it's in making a wrong association. What's amazing is that these men were committing indecent, perverted acts with other men. And yet, our society refuses to make any moral judgment against their behavior. In a normal world, people would be so appalled by homosexual behavior that they would lay some guilt at the feet of the people in the club. Now, if this was a club where men were having dogfights and some moralist came in and shot up the place to stop cruelty to animals, there wouldn't be much sympathy for men in the club. You see, it all comes down to what one considers sin, what one considers a perversion. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 8 says, do not go near the house of an adulteress. Her feet go down to the grave. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. For jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Proverbs 6:34. And Proverbs 7:23, he does not know it will cost him his life. This is the penalty that will come upon adulterers for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. How much more of a warning for those going into the house of homosexuals? 2 months ago, I did a two-part series called Gender Identity Council. And at the end of that program, I said the following. The LGBT crowd believes that the Christian community is their enemy. But from scripture and history and experience, it will not be the Christians who persecute the homosexuals. The persecution will come from immoral men, even from within the LGBT community. Those are the people who will abuse you, take advantage of you, and may even take your life. And that statement has come true and will keep coming true. Violence will plague the LGBT community. And that's the sad reality of sin. The sinner is subject to the whims of other sinners. Whether that be other jealous homosexuals or self-righteous religious moralists like the Orlando shooter who secretly harbored perversions in his own heart. Even Satan, the god of this world, comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And he will kill those who side with him. He doesn't plan to bless those who join him in his rebellion against God. I have to share one final Bible lesson concerning how we interpret events. And that comes from Luke chapter 13, where Jesus comments on two tragedies that took place in his day. First, there was this news that the governor Pilate had Roman soldiers slay some Jews in the temple. These Jews were probably Jewish zealots. Terrorists against Rome. As far as the Jews were concerned, they were freedom fighters. Then another report that the Tower of Siloam collapsed and killed 18 men. innocent men, as news reporters would say. One event was an act of terrorism. The other appeared to be an act of nature. And the people were looking to Jesus to give a moral commentary on the events. People then were no different than people today. They want to fix moral responsibility on someone. They wanted Jesus to either say Pilate was right, or that these Jewish zealots were right. They wanted Jesus to say that either these 18 men on whom the tower fell were innocent, or they were receiving some punishment for their sins. And the Bible does give us guidance to make these moral judgments, but Jesus did not answer the question in a way anyone would expect. Luke chapter 13, verse 2. Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now, I don't believe Jesus was teaching that no moral judgment ought to be made concerning the guilt or the innocence of individuals caught up in some tragedy. But what Jesus was teaching is that the first priority is to make a moral judgment upon yourself. You are no better than the people who experienced the tragedy. And if you don't repent, the same thing will happen to you. There's not a single Christian, if it were not for the grace of God, who would not have also been in that nightclub. In fact, we have someone in our church who used to attend that nightclub, but that person came to know the Lord 3 years ago. It's sobering to think that precious soul could have been in that building, still caught up in that lifestyle, unrepentant, and lost for all eternity. But any one of us could have been in that club. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit of our God. That event in Orlando is a reminder of God's mercy and grace upon all of us. And that's the way the media and the politicians ought to interpret the event. Unless we all repent, we will all likewise perish in an event just as tragic and horrible as the Orlando shooting. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The radio website is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can listen to this program again, download it, listen to other past programs, or send me an email. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, there are many things we don't understand about your grace and mercy. But even if we can't fully understand it, Lord, may we all receive it. May we repent and receive your forgiveness so we do not perish. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.